Just a thought on my mind that I want to share with you out of the Word of God. I'm glad that I have the Word of God. Amen. The Bible is the Word of God. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm glad that I have a copy in my native tongue. Something I can read and know this is God's Word. It's not the Word of a man. It's not the Word of an institution, a religion, a denomination. It's the Word of God, and I'm thankful for it. We've been discussing Thanksgiving and just being thankful. And God has been helping me. I hope that you've gotten some help. Just, a thankful heart is a good heart. Someone has said that good hearts are grateful hearts. Grateful hearts are good hearts. And I noticed something with the Apostle Paul, who was a very thankful man. When you read through Paul's writings, you find that Paul was, well, he was a thankful man. He was a man of thanksgiving. If you have your Bible open to Colossians chapter 1, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet, and we'll read I'm just going to read the first three verses. There's a thought that continues on, but I'm not going to read on through that thought. I just want to get to verse 3. Verse 3 is where I'm going to just pull a couple of truths that I hope will be a help and an encouragement to you about being thankful and how thankful, being thankful and being a prayerful person goes together. Now, I'm going to make a couple of admissions to you, and I'm not confessing my sin to you, but I am acknowledging my faults. I don't pray enough. You say, oh, well, you're just saying that. I'm saying it because it's so. And I'm not thankful enough. And I think those two things go together. I think that praying people, when people pray often, they're very thankful people. And I think very thankful people pray a lot. And so I think that if we could work on two areas of our lives, I can speak for myself. I can't speak for you. Okay, I don't know where you are in your spiritual life. I know what God speaks to me about. I want to be a man of prayer, and I want to be a man of thanksgiving. I don't want to come up short in those two areas. I used to say I didn't want to come up short in thanksgiving, and I still don't want to, but I don't want to come up short in prayer either. And so I want to just talk to you about that, prayer and thanksgiving. I want you to notice something here. This is the Apostle Paul. Let's read the first three verses. You follow as I read, and then we'll have prayer. And we'll get into a couple of things that God's just laid on my heart, okay? And I hope it'll be a blessing to you, a challenge to you, but an encouragement to you as well. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Now, he goes on and he gives us, he continues with his salutation. He continues on with some things that he's thankful for them for since he had heard about their faith. I'm not really sure Paul, I don't think Paul started the church at Colossae, just based on what I've read and some of the things that I've looked up. I couldn't be dogmatic one way or the other. I think it's something that he says in verse number 4, since we heard of your faith in Christ. And when he writes to, well, we've been in the book of Thessalonians, he's talking about, he says, you know, I remember when we were there and all this had happened. When you go back in the book of Acts and you kind of see the founding of those churches, you'll see where Paul was very instrumental and the man that God used to, well, start those churches. So here's Paul, and he's saying, I'm thankful for you, and I'm praying for you. But I think there's a connection there, and I want to try to make that connection, and hopefully it'll help us make a connection between the importance of praying for one another and being thankful for one another. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God, and Lord, we need your help. And I pray that we would be attentive, not just to my voice, but to your word and to your Holy Spirit. And God, I pray our hearts would be open and that we would be receptive to to your word. We would receive it, not as the word of a man, my word, my opinion, my thought, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Speak to our hearts, I ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So, I'm going through and I'm just reading some salutations from the Apostle Paul as he's writing to these churches. And I really didn't get as in depth with it as I wanted to. But I noticed a few things that just stood out to me that was really interesting that I'd like to share with you. You probably noticed it before. Paul, it was his habit, it was his practice when he was writing to the churches that he had founded or that he had heard about, as in this case, I believe. He wrote back to them and he addressed some things and he said, you know, I'm thankful for you. And when you think about that, when you read the letters, it's really interesting because some of these churches really had struggles. I mean, they struggled. And some of them had some problems. And some of them had allowed false teaching in. Some of them had allowed false teachers to come and to persuade them not to be what they ought to be. And yet Paul found something to be thankful. And we'll get back to that. But I want you to remember that, okay? You know, I believe when you go to church with people, when you fellowship with people, when you worship with people, it's very easy to take people for granted. And I'm going to come back to that at the close of this message. But I want to tell you that you don't have to talk down people. You don't have to be rude. You don't have to gossip. You don't have to backbite and whisper. You can pray for people, and it'll change the way you view them. I've done it. Now, I've also done the other. I haven't prayed for them, and I've had a not-so-pleasant attitude toward them. And it's just not pleasing to God. It's not pleasing to God. It's not good for my spirit. It's not good for the unity of the brotherhood. And so I want to encourage you, if there's someone that, well, you know, maybe you just don't think the highest of. And maybe there's been some, you know, when you go to church with a group of people the size of our church and even smaller, larger, when you go to church with people, when you're around people often, it's very easy, well, to rub each other maybe in a contrary way. And to have a contrary spirit, to have words, to maybe just develop a dislike toward them or maybe a bad spirit. It happens. It happens at work. It happens in the home. Doesn't it? Okay, doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah, it does. And so it doesn't mean you don't love people. Sometimes the people you love the most, you become comfortable and you take them for granted and you can just assume things and it causes you to have a foul spirit and a wrong attitude toward them. And so I'll get back to that in a moment, but when I went through and I looked, I seen where this was not just some habit. You know, sometimes we can get in the habit of saying things. Let me give you a couple of things that if we're not careful, we'll get in the habit of saying. Praying for you, well, be careful. If you're not praying for someone, don't tell them that you are. Now, I think it'd be good to tell them, as often as God reminds me, or upon every remembrance, I'm going to pray for you. But don't tell someone you're praying for them if you're not. It's easy to say that. It's just easy, you know. Sometimes people can say things just like, I mean, yeah, love you, brother. You know, do you? Hope you do, right? I'm not doubting you. Don't you doubt me. I'm just saying that these are little catchphrases. If we're not careful, it almost becomes habitual. And so when I'm reading this that Paul's writing, and he said, you know, I don't really know you folks that well. In verse number 3, it seems like he's saying, I heard about your faith in Christ, and you know, I can't see where he met any of these people. He just heard some things about them. But now, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he said in verse number 3, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Either that's so or it's not. It's so. Because he's under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit when he wrote it. And we'll get to the word always in just a moment. So what's happening here? This is not just some habit. This is not just some catchphrase that the apostle's throwing out there, right? Thank God for you, brother. That's not, look at it again, verse 3. We give thanks for you. This is not just some catchphrase or some, you know, some trite saying that's become familiar, habitual with the apostle Paul that he's just kind of throwing out there. No, he means this. He's doing this. Amen. Because that's the kind of man he is. It's the kind of character that he has. It's the burden that he has. And so when I read this, it just really challenged my heart. Because I go back, and I want you to, just for go back, if you would, to Romans chapter 1. Now, Romans is the first letter. Now, I don't mean, I'm just talking about now in chronological order of the scripture, not in dates. But you come to Romans after Acts, then you get into these church epistles, right? I mean, for the next nine books are church epistles, where Paul is, he's writing these epistles to these churches. And so you get to Romans, look at chapter 1, verse number 8. He said, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. And he meant it. He said, I thank God for the brethren. I thank God for Christians. I thank God for those of like precious faith. And then go over to the next church that he writes to, again, in chronological order of the scripture. I want to make that very clear in case somebody like Mary comes up to me after the service and says, you said 266 and it was 276. I'm not going to let that down, Mary. That hurt me. That cut me deep. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse number 4, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. I thank my God always on your behalf. He meant that. He meant that. And you know the problems that this church was having. You know what they were going through. I mean, there was all kinds of things going on here. And he said, you know what? I'm not looking for your faults. If we wanted to, we could find fault in all of us. A lot of it, if we really want to look. If that's what you're after, it's there. Can I tell you something? I'm flawed. You're flawed. Amen. And if that's what we want to do, listen, we can, and we'll get to it in just a moment, to a church where Paul did not thank them. And he said, you know what? You folks, if you're not careful, you're going to be biting and devouring one another. You'll be just ripping to each other like animals. You won't be Christians supporting one another, encouraging one another, praying for one another. If you're not careful, what'll happen is you'll be in competition with one another, and you'll be whispering about one another and saying things you shouldn't say about one another, and it all comes from not praying and being thankful because they go together. Can I tell you, when you pray for people, you feel differently about them. Now, is that not so? You will. Even people maybe that's rubbed you the wrong way. Or perhaps you've rubbed the wrong way. And so I just want to, from my heart, tell you, pray one for another. Love one another. Be thankful for one another. It just helps. You say, well, you know, I don't know that I'd ever be best friends with so-and-so. I don't know. I'm not asking you to be best friends with them, but I'll tell you this. If they're saved, you're going to spend all of eternity with them. Okay? And so get used to them. Amen. He said, I thank God for you. 1 Corinthians. Now, if you would, go over to Ephesians. Now, I'm going to skip Galatians. I know I skipped 2 Corinthians too, but he told the Corinthian church, I thank God for you all. Right? He didn't say that to the Galatian church. I couldn't find it. Now you say, well, I think he did. Well, I couldn't find it. So if you can find it, let me look over here at Mary. She'll be looking now the whole message. But I couldn't find where he thanked God for the Galatian church. But I could see, as a matter of fact, I said go to Ephesians, but go back to Galatians just for a moment. Galatians chapter 1. I mean, Paul just gets right into this thing and he says, listen, folks, you got this thing mixed up. And I'm doing this for a reason. I want you to know that it's okay to confront people. It's okay to have differences. Jesus said, it's impossible, but that offenses will come. That's impossible. That you're going to go through and not have some problems with other people. As a person, I represent, I hope, a blessing to you, but I also represent a problem to you. Because I can be a problem. You can be a problem. And we have to realize this. We don't want to be sometimes. Sometimes people just flat out want to be. And I've been in that foul spirit. I don't like it when I'm there, but you know, you have to realize that sometimes you just choose to have a wrong spirit, and it's not pleasing to God, and you just need to deal with it. Paul writes, look at Galatians chapter 1, are you there? Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And he begins to go down, and he just doesn't say, I thank God for you. You get down to verse number 6, and he just gets right into it. And he says, you know what? I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel. I got a bone to pick with you, you know? And as a matter of fact, if you go over into chapter 3, look at it, the book of Galatians. Now, I'm showing you this for a reason. Paul didn't say, I thank God for you in Romans. I thank God for you all in 1 Corinthians. I thank God for you all to the church of Colossae. I thank God for you all to the church at Thessalonica. I thank God for you all to the church of Ephesus. I thank God for you all at the church of Philippi. He said it to all of them. But he didn't say it just, it was not just some trite, habitual thing that when he kind of exchanged pleasantries or he sit down with the pen, he just said, well, you know what, that's just my catchphrase. No, he meant it. He meant it. He gets here to Galatians and says, yeah, I don't thank God for you. Yeah, he doesn't say that, but he said, I'm at a place right now, I don't know that I could be thankful for the way that you're acting and the things you're doing. As a matter of fact, look if you would at chapter 3, verse number 1. He said, oh, foolish Galatians. You know, what's going on over there? You know? So, you know, it's got to be real. It's got to be real. He said, you're messing up. And there's nothing wrong with, in Christian love, you know, speaking the truth in love. But you know who Paul told this? The Galatians. He didn't write the church at Ephesus and said, boy, those people over in Galatia, they're messing up. And don't you do that either. Somebody rub you the wrong way? Don't tell someone else about it. If you don't have what it takes to go to them and tell them about it, then just deal with it. Right? Yeah. It's the Bible way, brethren. It's the Bible way. When you have aught in your heart, when there's an offense, you get that matter settled. You don't let it sit and fester and you don't seethe in your anger. You don't run and tell everyone else about it. You go to your brother, you go to your sister, and you tell them. And if they won't hear you, you take someone with you that by the mouth of two witnesses a matter may be established. Now that's the Bible. And here's what Paul is doing. I mentioned it to you, so I'm going to point it out to you in chapter 5. If you would notice there in verse number 5, he said, chapter 5, verse number 15. Chapter 5, verse number 15. He said, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. I tell you, you know, you go to church with folks, and we're different backgrounds, we're different places of our life, everyone's got things going on. You understand that, right? You're not the only person that's going through hardship. Everybody's got things going on, brother. Say amen with me so I'll know that you're with me. I'm talking to you about prayer and thanksgiving. It's a choice. It's a choice. Paul chose to tell the church at Rome, I'm thankful for you. Paul chose to tell the church at Corinth and Philippi, but he chose not to the churches there in Galatia. And he, as far as I can tell, and he said, you know, I'm gonna have to deal with you a little different right now. Now, did Paul ever restore some things? I think that he did, and I think he was thankful for him, but he didn't tell them that because that wasn't what he wanted to tell them. He wanted to tell them, I'm disappointed in you. What's going on over there? And so I show that so that when we go back to Colossians, and if you would go back to Colossians chapter 1, when Paul in verse number 3 said, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. He's not just saying that. I'm thankful for you. He means that. And so we want to be genuine, but we want to try to find common ground with people. Let's be thankful for one another. I always, one of my favorite, and I'm gonna take you there. I wasn't going to do this, but God just brought this to my mind. This is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter number 13. Genesis chapter 13. This is one of my all-time favorite passages of how that sometimes, you know, somebody's got to be the peacemaker. I don't know if you know the story, but, you know, Abram and Sarah, and they had left, and they took Lot, and they, Brother Bradley touched on it a little bit Sunday night. And they went down into Egypt because of the famine in the land. And their families begin to grow, their possessions, their cattle. And it caused some division between their cattlemen. And I just love the way that Abraham, what wisdom this is. Notice, if you would, in chapter 13, you ought to read this sometime. In verse number 7 of chapter 13, the book of Genesis, it says, and there was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And here's something that is just amazing to me. It says, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt then in the land. Now, what does that have to do with Abram's cattle and Lot's cattle and their herdsmen? As far as the cattle and the herdsmen, nothing. But they were watching. They were watching these people that said they represent Jehovah. And Abram knew that. And the Holy Spirit said, I want you to know those people that are on the outside are looking in. They're watching you. They're watching how you say you're a Christian. They're watching how you live. They're listening to your conversation. They're watching the way you treat other people. They're watching the way that your church functions, and they listen. And when they hear you say things, they think, well, I want to go down to that church. Sounds like to me they shoot their wounded instead of try to help them up. And notice what Abraham did here in verse number 8. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between thy herdmen and thy herdmen. And here's my phrase, for we be brethren. What a statement. And you know, we're brethren. We ought to be able to work this out. Right, believers? We're Christians. Maybe before you got saved, you handled it that way, but you're saved now. Maybe before I got saved, well, there ain't no maybe to it. Before I got saved, I handled it another way, but I'm a Christian now. And people expect things out of us. And so this backbiting and whispering and gossiping and just tearing each other down and talking about each other and turning our backs on people and saying that, and just running. How about praying for people? How about praying for that person? How about finding something good in their life? Can I tell you, if they're saved, they've got something good in their life if you'll just look for it. Amen. Amen. If you look long enough, you'll find something good in my life. And if I look long enough, I'll find something good in yours. But if we want to find something that's tainted, and we want to find the weaknesses, and we want to find those things, we can find them. They're there. We're all wearing it. Brother, we're just damaged goods. Thank God we've been saved by the grace of God. But at our very best now, we are what we are by His grace. And so I want you to go back to Colossians, and I'll give you a couple of thoughts here. So Paul in Colossians 1, he's not just saying some trite thing. Appreciate you, brother. You know, I thank God for you, brother. Now, he meant that. He meant that. And so he lived in a way to where he kept that attitude toward the brethren. And I'm asking you to do that. When we think about this thing of thanksgiving, be thankful for your brethren. I thank God for Christians. Listen, I know that Christians can get sideways. I can get sideways myself, but Christians are the greatest people I know. Christians have been the greatest encouragement to my life, and God has used Christians to help me to be, well, a better man than I would be without them. And I thank God for them. I thank God for you. And I mean that. I can say that and mean it in my heart. There's not a person that attends this church regularly that I know that you know, I thank God for you. I don't know any other way to say it. I sure am glad that you're part of this church, and I'm glad I get to be your pastor. I'm thankful. And I think if we all would just think long enough, what life could be, what situations could be, where we could be, I think that we could maybe cut out some of this saying things we shouldn't say. And I'm not speaking just to you. I am speaking to you. But this is for me too. And so he said, we give thanks. This was his practice, okay? It wasn't just some habitual thing, a little catchphrase. The second thing I want you to notice is what he said. He said, I thank God. I think this is something that comes into purpose here of why he could be a thankful person. I think we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, what is Paul saying here? Notice how he worded that. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying that Jesus is God. He has no earthly father. God is the Father of Jesus. That's what he's saying. He said, I sure do thank God that I met him. I think Paul was saying, you know, I used to didn't think that he was the one, but I know he is now. Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of God. He's God in the flesh. And when you get saved and that becomes a reality in your heart, it just changes the way you look at people. It just does. I don't look at people the way I used to. I look at people, they're lost or they're saved. Not if they're black, not if they're Hispanic, not if they're Asian. They're either lost or saved. Now, we notice those things. There's no doubt about it. But in the back of my mind, the question I have, I wonder if that person's a Christian. I wonder about their eternal destiny. I wonder if they're saved. And so he said, I'm glad that I met Jesus. I'm glad I met the Christ. I'm glad that Jesus has done this to me. He's taught me to be thankful. Has Jesus taught you to be thankful? Are you thankful you know him? You see, I believe that's where it all begins. I just do. I think it begins to when we realize Jesus has saved me, Jesus has forgiven my sin, and Jesus has purchased eternal redemption for me. I think that's where Thanksgiving begins. And if you're saved, you're my brother now or sister. And we need to live like it. You say, preacher, you saying that there's division in the church? Not saying that at all. But I'm saying we're not above it. If we're not careful, the little foxes can spoil the vines. If we're not careful, the little things that we take for granted, the little things that we think is okay and that God is okay with it. Listen, brethren, I'm telling you, God is not pleased when his people do not dwell together in unity. It's good and it's pleasant when God's people dwell together in unity. Amen? And I think God is pleased. But there, I think all of us could work on some things. I do. Be thankful for your brethren. If there's someone you think that maybe you might just have a little something that needs to be fixed in your heart toward them, pray for them. Ask God to help you to love them the way He loves them. Amen. The scripture says here, not only that, but notice what he said here. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in the Old Testament, I thought about this. This may mean nothing to you, but it's just something I thought about. In the Old Testament, God was referred to, and Paul, now listen, he was a master of the law. And Paul knew, you know, it's God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But Paul's getting used to this right here now. Okay, it's no longer that. Now, listen, he is still the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but there's something greater. There's a greater message now. Because now the Gentiles, see, that left the Gentiles out. And Paul is writing to a church here that was probably predominantly Gentile. I would say this congregation is pretty close to maybe entirely Gentile. And so we need to understand that when we pray, we're praying to the God who is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had us in mind when He became flesh so that we could know Him personally. And that's the only way you're going to know God personally is through Jesus Christ. Amen? Do you think about that ever? Do you think God could have left us to ourselves without hope, without help? I'm so grateful God didn't leave me to myself. I'm glad God didn't leave us out, brethren, as Gentiles. And so I think what Paul was saying here, just in this phrasing, I think he's saying, listen, that I understand what God has done, and I sure am thankful for it. I sure am thankful. We thank God. I thank God for you. We give thanks to God. I am thankful for you. I'm glad that as Gentiles, that we as Gentiles, I'm glad we got in. Amen. I'm glad God grafted us in and didn't leave us on the outside looking in. But God took us in. Aren't you thankful for that? Amen. Now, this is where I want to close. And this is my main point. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. I want you to read this. Just read it this way. I'm not doing any harm to the scripture. We give thanks, praying always for you. Because that's what he's saying. We give thanks, praying always for you. Prayer and thanksgiving go together. When you pray for people to help you be thankful for them, if you don't pray for people, you're out not to be thankful for them. You know who you pray for? The people you're thankful for. It just goes together. It just does. I believe when we give thanks to God, it so magnifies Him that God will look down upon us and He will hear and answer our prayers because He knows that we will give Him thanks. You know, the scripture even says this in Chronicles. One of the reasons that God saves us is to thank Him. Did you thank God for saving you today? You say, now, preacher, you know I thank God for saving me. Well, I don't know. Did you? Did you thank God for saving you? You say, well, I'm over that. I thank God for other things now. Well, listen, none of that would be possible if God didn't save you. Don't ever get over the fact God didn't have to save you. Amen. God did that because He loves you. And because God has a plan for your life. And so He saved you by His grace. And you be thankful for that. Don't ever take that for granted. Be thankful. Because that's where it starts. Be thankful for that. And then be thankful for God's blessings. Look at all that God has done for you. Look at all that God has done for us. Be thankful for what God has done. Look at what God has done in this church. Be thankful for what God has done and is doing in this church. Yes, we have flaws. Yes, we have weaknesses. Yes, there's much that needs to be done. But God's done much too. And we get to choose. I can either look at this group of people here and the others that would be here that are part of Fellowship Baptist Church, and I could pick and pick and pick and pick and pick and pick all of your flaws. Dig and pick. Or I can look at you and say, you know what? I sure am thankful for that brother. I sure am thankful that he's this way, or I'm thankful that she's that way, or I'm thankful that they're this way. I'm thankful for what they offer. I'm thankful for what they do. And it's just so easy to look at the wrong and the negative and dwell on that. And if we're not careful, our lives will be consumed with that. And that's all we'll be doing is just trying to hold people to an unrealistic standard. Look, I'm for standards. I'm for living right. I'm for doing right. But I'm also for being quick to forgive and looking for the good in people. How about you? How about you? You feel better when you're talking good about someone or poorly about someone? Does it make you feel empowered when you're talking down someone or you're lifting up someone? Let's be thankful. Paul said, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. So you think Paul was always praying for them? Well, just flip over to chapter number 4 of Colossians. And he said this, he said in chapter 4, verse 2, he said, continue in prayer. And I think that's the same as just praying always. Be in the spirit of prayer. Keep the prayer line open. Amen? You go to call heaven, don't let the line be busy. You say, is God busy? Well, what I meant by that is don't have any unconfessed sin in your life now. Don't clog the line. You don't have to get right before you can make a petition. And so the Bible says that we always ought to be constant. We ought to continue in prayer. We ought to pray always. We ought to be able just at any moment to call on God and pray. Talk to my Heavenly Father. Keep a right spirit toward others. Keep a right fellowship with God. And we can just be in a constant, continual spirit of prayer. I believe that's where you are. If it's not, I'm going to challenge you to get there. I'm going to challenge you to get there. Be thankful for others. Sometimes it's just good to go tell somebody. That was something that Paul did. He told people when he was thankful for them, he told them. He said, well, they know I'm thankful for them. Well, you know, tell them anyway. Maybe they just need to hear someone say it. Amen? Amen. All right. One last scripture and then we'll be done. James chapter number 5. James chapter 5. Now, a long time ago, I don't know exactly when it happened, I quit doubting when God told me to preach certain messages. I just preach them. So you say, well, you know what? I don't have that problem. Okay. Then you write this one down as preventive. Because you're going to need it one day. Because we all get out of sorts. And we'll open our mouths and we say stuff we shouldn't say. About people we shouldn't say it about. There's not a one of us that hasn't done it. And there's not a one of us that's not out to do it again. And it's just not right. And God is not pleased. And you can, and I, we can try to justify it all that we want. But if I have something I need to say to you, I'm going to come to you and say it. I try to make that a practice, but I can't say that I always have. And I've asked God to forgive me now. I believe in being genuine. And I'm not going to tell someone something if I don't mean it. And I want to be able to say it from my heart. And I think you as a Christian need to say that too. I thank God for you. Is there anyone that you can't say that to in the church? Is there anyone on the job that's a believer that you can't say that to? Is there someone in your family that you cannot say that to? Is there alt? Is there indifference? And it's hindering you from being a person of thanksgiving. That one little thing, that one person, that one situation is just really just, it's not right. Look, if you would, in James chapter number 5. The Bible says, confess your faults in verse 16. Confess your faults one to another. We're afraid to do that these days because of what I've preached tonight. You confess your faults and somebody's going to run and tell everybody, you know, and their cousin too. Of course, they'll twist it and change it if they don't like you, to try to make it be detrimental to you. But that's still in the Word, that we're to confess our faults one to another. And it says, watch it now, and pray one for another. What's it say after that, church? That you may be healed. It hurts you when you have a bad spirit. I know what context this is written in. It hurts you when you have a bad spirit. It wounds your spirit when you're talking about others. It wounds your spirit when you're not where you need to be with the Lord. It wounds your spirit when you don't have a thankful heart. And it wounds your spirit when you're not praying as you ought. And so, you know, we need to pray. We need to pray one for another. Say, I don't have anything to pray about. Well, that's not my problem. My problem is the exact opposite. I'm overwhelmed with things that I need to pray about. And so we just need to pray one for another. And we need to be thankful for one another. I want to pray more. And I want to be more thankful. How about you? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God, and thank you for speaking to my heart about this matter, and I pray you'd help us. God, help us to be a thankful people, to be a grateful people, to be a people of gratitude. Help us to be a people of prayer. Help us not to forfeit this wonderful privilege called prayer. Help us to be in constant communication. Help us to know that as we praise you, we will pray more. And as we pray more, we will praise you. Help us to know the connection between prayer and thanksgiving. Help us to be thankful one for another. And to pray one for another. And to encourage one another. And to lift each other up. God, help us not to give place to the devil, who would like to cause us to harm one another, hurt one another, and to be an offense one to another, that the testimony of Christ might suffer because of our ill will and ill behavior. Help us now, in Jesus' name.